the show.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Great to be with you. And I want to make sure that you know, first off, that this week's show is sponsored by ChristianCafe.com. Those of you who have not tried Christian Cafe yet certainly can. And make sure you enter the promo code BOUNDLESS so that you can get that extra special deal related to the free trial. So make sure you check that out. You can go to our site, boundless.org, and click on the Christian Cafe ad or find out more info. You can just do a search and you'll get all that you need to know about that. This week's show, we are going to be talking later on with John Thomas. He's going to answer a listener question for us about a relationship that began at camp. Oh, haven't we all just pined for one of those? Usually I was looking to get in a relationship with one of the counselors, but they were older than I and did not care about me. So it never worked out. But he's going to maybe talk about one that might be a little bit more realistic. Anyway, then in our culture segment, we actually have Michael Ross. He is the author, co-author of the book Unstuck. And we're going to be talking about really your time, quiet time with God. If this is something that you have not struggled with, you need to write to me because literally I can't think of a person that has not at some point hit a snag in their daily devotional time or just in their spiritual walk in general. So we'll get some good encouragement from Mike. But here we are for our roundtable, and I have three fun guests with me. I have got Joe, Heather, and Les. Welcome to all of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
And we are talking about, this is what Martha described as the hamster wheel of life. So I just took that. I had a hamster growing up. His name was Whiskers. He was a genius. And but this has nothing to do with Whiskers. This has to do with life and what we think it's supposed to look like, especially related to career and trajectory and all the things that we thought we would do and maybe how sometimes it takes some turns and what we do to steer ourselves out of that and what we do to be content where we are while it's happening. So I want to start off by really introducing the topic with a question for y'all. And it's really kind of a general one in the sense of, what was your vision for your life back in the day? You know, maybe you can go back to college. And I want to know, how has life then ended up different for you, specifically in your career and the daily grind, as we call it?
Well, I'll say that my vision was this. I originally went to school. I wanted to go into radio. And yeah, things didn't quite turn out that way. I didn't really have a full plan.
Oh, they did now, Les. Here you are.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm a star now.
You're right.
But, you know, it took this long. It only took 20 years.
Okay.
So, yeah, I really didn't have a big plan going in. I majored in English because English classes were easy for me, so, which really isn't a good reason to major in anything. But then, you know, as I've gone on, I've been laid off from jobs four times. I've had to quit a couple of jobs for different reasons. So, you know, it hasn't exactly gone as planned. But here I am now. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I probably had a typical female vision of myself. Upon graduating college, I'd probably get married, have four or five kids, drive my Suburban, all my kids around to all their sporting events, and, you know, do all that. And here I am.
So
single.
Come up, and then you realized, oh, okay, yeah. So while I'm waiting for that to happen, I have to work and I have to find something that I love doing.
That's what I did. I got a degree in something I didn't want to use.
Which because, was, you've got to say what it is because it's awesome.
All right. Physical education.
All right.
So I knew going into
student
teaching.
At least you're fit while being directionless. There's an upside
true.
To that.
People I can aimlessly wander and enjoy it. No, but over time, it kind of became a shock, in a sense, kind of wore on, like, okay, I have this degree I don't want to use. And then, you know, as I got older, like, all right, now what am I really going to do with my life? Because obviously God is not opening those doors. Mm-hmm. He's not going according to my timetable. And so maybe I should pray about it and see what he wants me to do until, I guess, he fulfills his purpose.
Mm-hmm. I think I pretty much wanted to just be a rock star.
Okay. Two are getting there. Very close.
Yes.
Tell Joe. You're close.
I was, I'm a musician, and I did get to travel a little bit and play and kind of did some of that throughout the years. Very easily can say that I think what I envisioned in my head and what I thought, you know, kind of what I expected God was going to do did not line up that way. And I've had kind of a different road than what I was looking for and what I thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Did you guys find yourself around people, whether in college or post-college, especially as some people's lives started sorting out? You know, I always talk about the engineers and the accountants who just know where to apply for jobs. You know, I'm the curse of the liberal arts major as well, Les. And where people kind of started walking on these straight paths and they just seemed motivated, seemed to know what they were doing, knew how to go after it. And then you kind of felt like you floundered. How did you navigate kind of that experience?
I guess with some of the circles I kind of ran in, I was around a lot of guys that were musicians, played at a few churches around town, and like really good musicians too. And then I would watch occasionally one of them would kind of get an opportunity that, you know, oh, they get to go and travel with the guy. They get to go be that guy's guitar player, or this guy gets to go be in his band and he's touring now and he's doing this. And, you know, and you're kind of sitting around, you know, you're trying to keep your thoughts kind of pure and on the right track with that, but you're also kind of wondering, there is kind of this thought of, you know, okay, well, God, you gave me this passion too, you know, so surely it's almost this expectation of that gets developed of, you know, if I'm doing all these things right, you know, eventually my turn it's going to be my turn. And I guess I never quite got that turn or really understood what was going on with mm-hmm. that, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I know a lot of people who are, like you say, accountants and engineers. And it seems those people, God bless them, they have that mindset mm-hmm. where that's
doctors,
what they want to do.
Doctors, nurses.
Right.
All that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a list.
So, yeah, they start off doing that and that's what they do. And God bless them, I'm not that kind of person. Mm-hmm. I never had a plan in the beginning. I just thought things would work out. I was waiting for the burning bush. Mm-hmm. And I never saw a burning bush. Mm-hmm. And I'm still kind of waiting for it. I kind of jokingly ask people all the time now, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I'm looking for good ideas. And, you know, if I hear a good idea, maybe I'll start pursuing that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been frustrating, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. I would say I'm in the midst of the floundering, but maybe kind of hopefully coming on the other side of it. I just finished a second degree in the medical field, and so now I just need to find a job. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of
that's good all.
Where I'm at, except there's a limited resource here.
Yeah. Well, which actually leads me to my next question. So I know, you know, you guys are actually in transition. Some of you've kind of moved into, you know, whether making a geographic move or now a new career, taking responsibility for getting some additional education. What kind of prompted that? I mean, did you see that as kind of like the dam breaking kind of, or some kind of new opportunity? And what steps did you had to take to get unstuck?
I think for myself, I just, I was faced with the prospect of, I need to start paying my bills, and I've got
that is always a good motivator, Joe.
Yeah, and it didn't mean, you know, I found that it didn't mean that I had to give up music, but it did mean that I had to find a different way about doing that. And you know, it also dawned on me, gosh, I'm actually gonna have to get a job.
I think mine was just friends intervening. A couple of years ago, one of the ladies that mentored me when I lived in California, I went back to visit, and she was just very emphatic that I look into what I'm going to be doing now. And I was just in my ho-hum, whatever, life is kind of down right now. I didn't follow through. And then my roommate a couple of years ago, she kind of gave me a kick in the pants and kind of said, you need to look into this. You need to, you know, check this out. And I checked it out, and I got excited. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, all right, Lord, mm-hmm. what are you doing? And he got me into a program, like, kind of last minute. And now here I am.
I love it when people have shared before, whenever I've talked to friends who are thinking of taking on a graduate degree or something, or a change in degree. And of course, we talk a lot here about don't just go and rack up degrees for the sake of doing it, because you're going to rack up debt too. And that's not always the wisest. But mm-hmm. if you really are looking at something that's a viable option for you, I heard a friend say one time, you know, 2 years from now, you're just going to be 2 years older and 2 years down the road. So you might as well, at some point, either you're going to do this and you're going to have completed this program and have that under your belt, or you're just going to be 2 years older and 2 years more stuck. And so I think that's a good example, Heather, of you kind of taking the reins and deciding I'm going to do this. And Heather just graduated last month, so she did make it to the finish, and like she said, is now job hunting in the realm of respiratory therapy, right?
Yep.
All right. And call Heather if you have to be intubated.
Or need me to change your ventilator settings.
Yeah, exactly. She will do it for you. So, okay, so we talked a little bit about, you know, much needed change and kind of the scariness of that and kind of overcoming fear in that. But what in the middle of that, we have to still do life. And that's kind of, I think, where the hamster wheel comes into play. And how does life overwhelm you maybe from time to time? And what do you do to kind of, I would say, even infuse meaning into your day-to-day activities, into your relationships? If you have, I mean, Les, if you're still hanging on to, you know, this radio career and you want to be the next, hopefully not Howard Stern, but, you know.
No, I'm the next Lisa Anderson.
Well, you know, don't take my job from me, Les. Don't take it. Yeah, exactly. Who knows? Who knows where I'll be? But how do you guys just deal with the fact that sometimes life is just a daily grind?
That's what life is. I mean, I started off, of course, with grand dreams and expectations of this is, you know, God's going to call me to do something and it's going to be obvious and I'm going to know that this is what I'm supposed to do and this is where I'm supposed to be. And my father was a pastor, so I grew up in a Christian home. So, you know, that was always kind of the thought in the back of my head. And as the years have gone by and that really hasn't happened, you have to start looking at things from a different perspective other than mine and kind of step back and say, okay, what is God's perspective on this? You know, his plan is obviously a lot different. Where I am now in my job, I like my job, but I don't consider it a calling or anything necessarily. But I do see myself, I am, as far as I know, I'm the only Christian who works in the environment that I'm in. Mm-hmm. So there is a certain calling there, even if it's not the one I expected or maybe wanted.
I don't know how to answer this one because my life the past 2 years has been a huge challenge, working full-time and going to school full-time. So basically, I would just try and squeeze whatever little minute reading or whatever I could do in, listening to sermons in my car. Sometimes I just have to watch a sermon on my computer on Sunday mornings. It was just so...
Well, and you've even talked, Heather, about having to... You're going to be in a season of having to reclaim, like, relationships and community and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... You just didn't have time to do...
No.
Heather was always like, people are always doing cool stuff and I can never join them because I'm running from class to work and whatever. So it really was a rough season for you, I think, in that sense. I don't think, even though... You know, we're all working now and we're all, like you said, you know, Heather's moving into another phase and job hunting in her new field and stuff. But how do you kind of be faithful where you are in what you're doing, but still keep your dreams alive for whatever may come in the future and still be open to growing towards the things that you're passionate about, whether that's career or other ancillary activities, what that's going to look like? How do you keep that dream alive and keep your creativity going?
That's a great question. I know the last 2 years have been probably two of the hardest for me. You do have to be deliberate about, you know, kind of, you know, hanging on to those dreams and looking for opportunities. And sometimes you just, you go through seasons, I think, where you have to just be faithful and kind of tough it out where you're at, you know, for a while and be looking at the same time for how you can transition into what, you know, what you're passionate about. You know, because I know for me, the two biggest things that come up are music, and then I also, you know, would love to take a trip back to Guatemala, you know, do another mission trip down there at some point. That's still a dream that I have as well. So,
Well, as far as occupation wise, I don't know if I really have any aspirations or dreams that go in that direction. A few years ago, I had a friend who pointed out something in scripture to me. There's that verse, and of course, I'll quoted incorrectly, but there's, you know, the verse that everybody likes to quote that, that says God will give you the desires of your heart. And of course there's a lot of ifs before that, but the other part is, you know, we like to look at that verse and think that, you know, God will give me what I want. And he kind of made me look at it differently, where it says God will give you the desires of your heart. Maybe that means God will give you what your heart should be desiring. And that really changed my perspective on things, because a lot of the things I've been desiring have not been now I know, you know, things that God would want me to desire. So I guess trying to change my perspective in that sense and live my life more to that ends.
Yeah, I think it's very true. I mean, there are seasons where I had to navigate and figure out, like I said on the front end of the segment, how, you know, I finished college with a liberal arts degree and I was just kind of like, where in the world am I going with this? And it's funny because a friend of our family, if you're listening, Dan, hi, just sent an email to my sister-in-law the other day and he had just started listening to The Boundless Show. And he actually sent an email to the entire family saying, hey, did you know, remember Phil, who's my brother, remember Phil's sister, Lisa? Well, you know, a while back when she graduated from college and she just kind of like didn't know what she was doing for a while. And he was like just kind of calling me out. And she just kind of went through this season of like not really knowing. And well, now she works for Focus on the Family and hosts this thing called The Boundless Show. And it's great and whatever. And it was just kind of funny for me to see that and just say, wow, you know, yeah, remember, Lisa, that season in your 20s when I really was in kind of a period of figuring out where I was going to go. And I've talked here before about just walking through the doors that God opens and being willing to trust him. And it may not look like the story that you had scripted. I mean, I started out thinking I was going to go into journalism and I did that for a little bit. And then I was in PR for many years. And now here I am in a young adults ministry. Never would have thought that, you know, 5 to 10 years ago. So really it is kind of taking those opportunities. And at the same time, there are many other things that I get excited about that don't have anything necessarily to do with Boundless specifically. And so I try to live those out as I can in my free time too. So well, thanks so much, you guys, for being willing to open up and share from your stories and just what God's teaching you. And some of you are kind of on a precipice of looking at what's next, and some of you have come through to a new opportunity. And Joe, all the best. You're going to have to keep us posted on how this new job turns out and on your budding, you know, your music stuff as well that's happening, the Colorado scene, music scene.
Yeah, I've kind of been on a hiatus from music the last couple of years.
But yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll look at getting back into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things kind of settle down a little more.
Absolutely. And many different ways to do that, just kind of as we were talking about. You know, it may not be traveling on the road or doing whatever, but it could be helping out with a local congregation or doing something. So very cool. Well, thank you all for being part of the discussion.
Thanks for having us.
Hey everyone, we have got another culture segment for you here this week, and I have on the phone Michael Ross. Hey, Mike.
Hey, great to be with you.
Very fun to have you. Mike, of course, is a Focus on the Family alumnus. He was the editor of Breakaway magazine for quite a while. How long was that?
Oh, man, I've lost count. I want to say I was at Focus for 22 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think I did, Breakaway for maybe about 14, 15 of those 22 years.
Wow. So all the guys in the audience here can give a collective cheer, those of you that subscribe to Breakaway. And, of course, you know that Martha was at Brio, so we just have a little family, little magazine family there with that. But, well, awesome. You are now out with Back to the Bible and are the author of, you've authored a number of different books. And
yeah, that's right.
This one now is called Unstuck. And I like the subtitle. It says, Your Life, God's Design, real change.
That's right.
And this is a great topic for us because this is something, you know, I talked about the collective cheer. We're going to have a collective groan here as we talk about getting into, no, this is going to make it sound bad. I'm saying getting
into
God's
you're
word.
Right. You're
that
right.
whole devotional experience that I think everyone, especially if you're in like, you know, the Western Hemisphere, specifically North America, we'd hit those bumps in the road when it comes to our walk with God. And we just feel so shameful and guilty about it. And I mean, this is something you've worked with teens for a long, long time. You probably talked about this forever. I mean, this was probably something that had to come up in the magazine over and over again. And of course,
over and over. That's right.
And of course, you are a dad. So I want to start out just by asking, why really, I alluded to this, why, Mike, are we so lame when it comes to getting to know God, being in relationship with God, cultivating a relationship with God, and even caring to begin with?
Wow. I hope we have like 2 days.
I just put it out there
to talk about
this.
That's
what I say. I'm speaking to myself here. I need you to, yeah, exactly. This is my experience for a long time.
Let me go back a little bit. You know, this book, the foundation for this book really started about 6 years ago when we began looking at the spiritual lives of 70,000 North American Christians. And we wondered, why do so many Christians feel stuck? Or as you said, lame. You know, why are they lame in their walk mm-hmm. with Christ? I mean, we live in a land of abundance where, you know, next to Starbucks on every corner, we have bookstores that are filled to the rafters with Bibles and self-help Christian books. Why are people feeling stuck? And our research actually discovered that 80% of North American Christians feel lost and clueless about God's will for their lives, their faith, who God is, what he wants from them. They feel clueless about that 4 months out of the year. Think about that. You know, out of 12 months, 4 months they feel lost. And the question is, why? And so as we dug into that, we discovered that people are not engaging their Bibles. You know, they don't really grasp what the Bible is. They read it only on occasion, and they're ignorant of basic Bible teachings. It really does come back to that transformational book, the Holy Bible. We're neglecting it. We're not engaging it. And so what we discovered as we began to look deeper into the spiritual lives of Christians, and we looked at those whose faith is thriving, we found that the difference is they're not reading their Bibles, but they're engaging their Bibles. And that's what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, the difference between merely reading, God's Word and engaging it.
Okay.
So hopefully I've answered your question.
No, yeah. And the question I have then is why, okay, so here's why people aren't reading it. It's because forever we've talked about it in just these horrible, like, gray Eeyore-ish terms.
Yep.
Like, it's always been about spiritual disciplines.
Who wants
to hear it? When I was in youth group, I didn't want someone to tell me that I needed this spiritual discipline. I don't like discipline. I don't want to do things that I have to do, and I don't want to do things that seem like a chore.
I don't want to go to the gym either. I don't want to exercise.
Exactly.
I'm totally relating.
So I would always
you.
Get these, like, printouts of the latest and greatest devotional that someone had put together, and then they would be handed to me, and it would be like, start this every day and get up at 5:30 in the morning and spend your time with God and answer these four questions and do this. And I'm like, no, I don't want
That's
to.
What you're talking
it was
about.
A formula,
yeah.
And I hated it. So please tell us how it can be different.
You could have written this book. I think you've read this book. That's exactly
I need to read this book. Yeah.
That's exactly the problem right there. We have been, told from, well-meaning grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts and our parents and a lot of voices in our culture, our pastors, all telling us, just read the Word. Follow these five steps and your life is going to be perfect. And we're saying in Unstuck, no, it's not about formulas. It's not about reading the Bible. In fact, we tell people, stop reading the Bible, but engage it. We talk about a relational way of connecting with Christ through God's Word, finding Jesus in the Bible. We talk about receiving, reflecting, responding to God's Word. Or if I could quote guy I love, Eugene Peterson, this is what he says. He says, words spoken or written to us under the metaphor of eating, words to be freely taken in, tasted, chewed, savored, swallowed, and digested, have a very different effect on us from those that come from the outside. So in other words, we metabolize God's Word. We eat it. We chew on it. We look for Jesus in the Bible. We look for his personal message to us. Another great writer talks about the Bible being 66 love letters from God. That's the way we approach the Bible. It's not, oh man, I have to do this. You know, it's not fitting our lives into a formula, but it's a want to. It's, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What's that personal message? Now, I've said that, and I know what people are thinking, and I know what you're probably thinking. You're thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, what on earth is Leviticus all about? You know, I
know what it's all about. I just read it, and I'm just like, I just talked about it as my liberation of finally getting out of Leviticus and Numbers into Deuteronomy. Oh, my goodness.
Well, faith is messy, you know, and God is bigger than us. God is God. Thank God. I'm really happy mm-hmm. about that. We try to fit him in a box. We try to fit him into our lives instead of us fitting into his plan and his will. And so, again, we unpack all of this in the book, and we talk about just a whole different approach to relating to God, to engaging his word, to hearing him, hearing that personal message, finding that relational way of connecting to God's word and hearing his voice and what he wants from us. When you do it from that approach, the Bible's radical. I mean, it's so, so different. It's transformational. It's not what Aunt, you know, Esther told us, you know, follow these four points and this, you know, fit into this cookie cutter formula and you know, follow the crowd at church and your life is going to be good. It's not about that at all. It's about a very unique way of relating personally with Jesus and hearing that personal message and what he wants to do in my life and help me. Mm-hmm. And what he's doing in my life is different than what he's doing in your life. Does all that make sense?
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and talk about what that looks like practically then, because if I think of a way, if I think of something that's going to get me engaged, I mean, everyone out here is thinking, okay, is this a video game or a game of Twister or a reality TV show or whatever? Because those are fun. Those are things that I want to do.
Right.
I don't want to sit down and read Leviticus. So how can we approach Scripture as a story? You know, we hear that talked about a lot. It's a grand narrative, and really we do have a part to play in it. But how can we turn, you know, it from I just need to slam down this chapter a day to something where I really am engaging, and how can we find others who can help us in this?
Well, you know, maybe it's not about slamming down a chapter a day. Maybe it's just taking a couple of words even. I mean, that sounds bizarre, but taking a few verses and receiving those verses and reflecting on them and pondering them and talking to God. You know, in my personal devotional time, I'll read something and I'll say, Lord, wow, you know where I am today. You know what's going on. I have all this pressure, all this stress. I don't get what I just read. How does this apply to my life? Or what do I do with this? And so we savor that. We wrestle with it, or we engage, you know, his word, and we listen carefully. We spend some time just kind of shutting our lips and listening. I'm not saying shutting off your mind, but listening to what God's saying through that. And it's amazing. I'm blown away by when I'm starting off thinking that, okay, I'm over here, my brain's over here, my struggles and problems are over here, and I just read this from Leviticus, and I'm not really getting it. I know it's, you know, looking at sin, and it's looking at all this really scary, awful stuff, but God is really calling us to holiness, and then as I wrestle through that, and I ponder and reflect on what I've just read, I hear God telling me, man, let's get to the real problem, Mike. I mean, maybe today it might be a stress that you're dealing with at work, or maybe it's a financial problem, but really the deeper issue is our relationship and what I want you to hear and what I want to grow in your heart and where I want to move you. If we work on that, we work on those things, all these other things are going to work out. Mm-hmm. Those things are going to fall into place, but let's get to the core of what matters. Let's get back to our relationship with each other, and I want to grow you. I want to strengthen you. That's what I hear. Now, not every day do I have those great revelations or my devotional times. Not every day do they give me goosebumps. Some days they're a little bit mundane. Some days I get in the way a little bit too much. As I said, faith is messy. Our God is a big God. We don't fit him in our boxes, but we fit our lives into his will and his plan.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we walk through periods where we feel like we're a failure, whether not only in our devotional life, but just in life in general. And that kind of makes us want to hide from God or run from God. And it can be difficult to muster up even the courage to approach God sometimes in our lives. And we feel, we lived under this, I can't really approach God until I get this in my life squared away, or until I clear this clutter out of my life, or something like that. How would you say really the power of community and living out what you're learning through scripture can help folks kind of bust through some of those barriers and feeling a sense of aloneness in their time with God and in studying scripture?
Yeah. The first chapter of the book talks about Confessions of a Spiritual Loser. And we really point out that in a sense, and understand me and hear me clearly, we're all spiritual losers in a sense, but we can be spiritual winners through Christ. But none of us have it together. None of us have it right. We all struggle. We struggle with temptations and sin. I mean, it happened in the garden. I mean, go and read, Genesis and read what happened to Adam and Eve. And wow, we all struggle with that. But yet, we try to treat church like a club, this spiritual holiness club where we all seem to have it together and we're all surface. And so in this book, we challenge people to take off your masks. I mean, okay, realistically, I'm not going to take my mask off to everyone. I'm not going to walk through the church door and just throw up all this stuff that's going on in my life to just anyone, but I am going to do that with a few trusted people at my church, and I am going to work on taking off my mask and being authentic, and not prejudging other people or not stigmatizing them because of their sins. We do that at church. Churches should be like a hospital that we all come to for healing and spiritual growth. But when people start doing that and they start being authentic and start being honest and saying, "Man, I don't have it all together. I'm really messed up." Then we start to stigmatize them and, "Oh, that's that person that's dealing with that particular sin." When that's backwards. Mm-hmm. That's hypocritical. We're all that way. And so to answer your question, authenticity, and we talk about that in Unstuck as well, taking off our masks, but having those few, people who they know everything about us, whether we're married and it's our spouse, or whether it's a very, very close friend. In the olden days, we'd call that accountability. I like the word community much better. Having that community with a few key people who you can be real with and they can be real with you, but striving to be authentic in the way we talk and the way we deal with other people. Again, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think there are a few different things. I mean, I just think practically of things that have helped me. And one is that I know growing up in a Christian home and kind of in the construct of Christianity, I woke up, in college probably and realized that I knew a lot of stuff and I didn't know God probably as well as I should have. I was like doing the Bible drills. I knew all the stories. I knew all this, but I was like, wow, have I ever really opened up to God and really let him into my life in a way that, I'm literally coming before him every day. And in doing that, I had to get rid of some baggage that I'd inherited. And I think one of those things is getting stuck on like this time of day that I have to spend with God. I always thought that the most spiritual people got up before dawn and started in on some big plan and did all these questions and then kind of like worked through them throughout the day and stuff. I have since had to let that go. I rarely do my quiet time in the morning because I also try to run. If I'm going to run, I run in the morning because I want to get that off my list for the day. So my quiet time tends to happen at night now. And it was a very guilty kind of thing for me, you know? I'm like, oh, you know, it's too bad. I have to do mine at night. I can't do it in the morning and stuff. And I was kind of like in this lower spiritual echelon for doing that. So that was one great example for me. The other thing was to allow myself to, as I've done group Bible studies, you know, I've done Beth Moore, I've done a bunch of the different studies with groups of girlfriends or whatever, and to really spend a lot of time in that homework each week and not feel like, you know, here I'm doing this big study, so I'm going to do that homework and use that as my time, you know, so I'm not juggling. I think too often we bite off more than we can chew, you know, and then we just get, we're all or nothing. And so then we just bail altogether. And that
makes us exhausted. Yeah. And that's not what it's all about. It's about thriving. It's about being refreshed. And mm-hmm. I love what you said. And you know, there again is not a formula, a cookie cutter formula that we should all subscribe to, but it's finding that personal way to connect with Jesus and doing it through the Bible, through prayer, through community. And, you know, I'm not a morning person. I would never run in the morning, and it's hard for me to read scripture in the morning, but I do spend time praying in the morning. Then in the afternoon, I read scripture, and then at night, I pray more. I kind of do this in little increments all throughout the day.
Yeah, that's cool. What would you say, I know in the book you talk definitely about some other very creative ways that people have gotten unstuck as it is, and ways that they're able to relate to God and express through their own personality, through their own giftings and talents and loves, whether it's art or whatever, have been able to incorporate that. Give us some other creative ideas for kind of moving out of that, like you said, just the strict discipline and burden of it.
Yeah, well, we talk to people who dance with Jesus, you know, male and female. They use dance as a way of connecting closer to Christ. They commit dance to Him. Those who, you know, use art, you know, music is a pretty easy given. Those who use sports and competition, you know, they commit that to Jesus. You know, it sounds like you're a runner, so let me ask you that question. That becomes a spiritual time for you, right?
Well, first of all, I say I'm a person who runs, Mike. I'm not a runner.
Okay.
No, what I do is I can use that time to pray. Like, that is a good time for me. Like, when I either put music on and it runs the game. I just have several playlists that I run through. But it's also my time to just get up in the day and focus. And I do use that time sometimes to pray. And I've been pretty intentional about that as well. So that's a good, that's a good time.
I use drive time as a time to pray and talk to God. And I really love to talk. I verbalize, I vocalize. And so, you know, I'm driving down the road and I'm just talking away. I'm thinking, people probably think I am absolutely insane. But then I thought, you know what? Everybody, we're all on our cell phones, and usually we have the little earpieces, and so we're talking away. So people probably think I'm just talking on my earpiece, you know, or my microphone, you know, and talking on the cell phone. But I'm actually talking to Jesus. And I you know, and I do that during my Devo times as well. Sometimes I know this sounds bizarre, but I'll take off my shoes and I'll take off my glasses and I'll just be on the floor, on the ground, and I'll just be praying and talking and having a conversation, and I'll spend some time being quiet, just shutting my mouth and listening. And I'll take a scripture and I'll ponder it and I'll commit that to God, and I'll look for Jesus in that scripture, and I'll talk to Him about what that means and what He wants from me, and it really becomes a meaningful time. So again, that works for me. That may not work for you, you know, so much, but the running, you know, may. You know, Starbucks can become a spiritual place for many Christians as well. So there's so many different ways of doing it. And the very last chapter of the book talks about throwing out the formulas. You know, now one more thing that's going to sound like a formula. I'm going to sound like I'm talking out of the other corner of my mouth. But we tell people to engage the Bible four more times a week. Now, why four more times a week? Well, our research found that those who engage the Bible four or more times a week have radically different lives than those who engage it zero to three times. In fact, someone who engages it zero to three times or reads it zero to three times, their lives typically don't look too much different from a non-Christian. But those who are in the Word four or more times, so many radical changes are occurring in their lives. And it all comes down to relationship. The more we spend time with the one we love, the more we grow. That's what that's all about.
That's cool. A couple other things that came to mind as I was thinking is just using kind of sometimes some ancillary materials can help as well. I know when I was in a period of feeling a little bit stuck, I started watching some of Focus on the Family's That the World May Know series with Ray Vanderlaan. And, you know, the videos on discipleship were life-changing for me and understanding what it means to really follow the rabbi, to follow Jesus Christ, and to read those portions in the New Testament as I was watching it come alive and see him in those places, you know, within the Holy Land was so helpful to me in that sense. Or reading another thing that's been helpful is to read some stuff like on the persecuted church. I mean, if there is anyone out there who knows how to spend time with God, it is people that is the only thing they have. Okay. You know,
that's
missionary
right.
biographies, people who are on the front lines and who do not have all this clutter in their lives that is, trying to take the place of their relationship with Christ. That's very eye-opening, or has been for me as well. So
those are great suggestions. Wow. And you said that word clutter, you know, distractions. We are such a distracted culture, aren't we? And that tends to get our eyes off of Christ, off of, his plan for us, his design for our lives, and on the things that we think are important, and the Bible might even call some of those things idols. Great stuff that you just said, and I've been studying the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, and listening to that. That's been very meaningful for me during my devotional times.
That's cool. Well, everyone, the book is Unstuck. Again, Michael Ross wrote it with Arnie Cole, who is actually the CEO of Back to the Bible. So these guys know what they are talking about. The other reason to read this book is it was endorsed by our own Martha Krinke. And so if she says you should read it, then you definitely should read it. So very fun to see that as well. So, Mike, I just want to thank you again for being part of this. Just great stuff. And we're looking forward to hearing from folks on the blog as to how they are applying God's word, and maybe some of the ideas in here will help folks get to kind of that next level or kind of have a little breakthrough there. So thanks again.
Well, thank you, and it's been great being with you today.
Well, we are opening up this week's inbox, and I have John Thomas on the line. Hey, John.
Hey, Lisa.
Well, we had to turn to our camp expert for this one.
You've probably seen
this situation crop up a number of times, so we're going to need your wisdom.
Sounds good.
For this listener. This person says, while serving at a Christian camp, I became really great friends with a guy who I happened to be very attracted to. Towards the end of the camp session, I found out he had a girlfriend. So my question is, how do I continue to build a God-centered relationship and friendship with a guy I'm attracted to but has a girlfriend?
Yes, Lisa, if I had a nickel for every time that I have seen this happen.
Yeah.
I run a camp, a summer camp, and so I see a lot of young guys and girls come, college age, and I see this happen a lot. I mean, not all the time, but I see it happen quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, guys just seem more amazing at camp. That's the problem.
Don't we?
Everyone is more amazing and more attractive while they're at camp. That's what I got to say.
That's right. Girls, too. It's just amazing how that works out. And honestly, camp is a great place to meet a spouse, I think. I mean, that's where I met my wife, and if you're wanting a good sifted pool to look at, that's a great spot. People who share your same values and all that kind of thing. So it's okay to be relationship minded, I think, when you're at camp. But in this situation, you know, this is one of the reasons I do talk to our staff a lot about relationships and how to make those work and godly in an environment like that. But a lot of things stood out to me in her note. One of those things is that she was around this guy enough to become what she calls really good friends, and yet didn't know that he had a girlfriend. And so, in fact, her words were, she found out toward the end that he had one. And I just wonder, how did she find out? Did somebody slip that information to her? Did he finally confess? And what I see a lot of times in a situation like this is a guy that has a girlfriend back home or a girl that has a boyfriend back home will be a little bit deceptive about that, will kind of conceal that information somewhat, mm-hmm. so that they can still have a little flirt access.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if maybe this guy could have been guilty of that. You know, he's got the girlfriend at home, but now here he's at camp. All these cute girls are around. He's making good friends. If the first thing that he said when he got there was that he had a girlfriend, that would certainly have shut down all the flirting opportunities.
Sure.
And so I wonder if maybe he fully disclosed what he needed to. That leads me to my second point, and that is this. For her, the one who wrote the question, are you sure this is a guy you want to continue to be close friends with while you have this attraction, when you've already seen that he might be one who can be a little deceptive?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I can't say that about this guy definitively. But I would just caution against that. That's just common sense caution. Now, my real advice after all of that is this. I think it would be very, very difficult to have any kind of normal, you know, healthy guy-girl friends relationship with this guy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think she would have to, you know, pull a miracle out to get her emotions disconnected and see him like any other guy that she might, you know, be friends with. This also touches on being buddies with the opposite sex, which probably most who read my stuff or have heard me on Boundless know I'm not a big fan of at all. But I would say to her, I don't think it can be done, and I wouldn't advise it.
Yeah.
This guy's got a girlfriend. You know, whether it's a good deal or a bad deal, we don't know, but that's what he's saying and that's what he's doing. And with your feelings, your feelings of attraction toward him, it's just a train wreck waiting to happen. I would say pull away, cut off, God bless you, and move on.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm being too harsh there, Lisa?
No, I mean, what stands out to me is where she says, how do I continue to build a God-centered relationship and friendship with this guy? And my whole question is, why do you need to? There doesn't seem a point.
Why do you need to?
I mean,
yeah,
you met at
no
camp. You met at camp. It's not like this guy is leading with you at church in something and you have to interact with him. I mean, it's just like, yeah, you know what? He has a girlfriend. I think it's time to move on. So,
sure.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So. Well, cool.
Yeah. I think she's being kind of led along by her feelings and her heart and kind of got a little bit of common sense disconnect there.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, John, for weighing in on this. For those of you out there, do write to us at editor@boundless.org so we can answer your question in the future. And hopefully, if this resonates with you, this will be good advice for you and just encouragement. You know, that's going to kind of keep you out of those life snags. That's what we're kind of trying to help you with. Some folks are just, you know, it's a hard thing. This is a great example of one that's just hard because you wanted something and there's not potential for it now. So hopefully this answer has been helpful to you. That is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.